So never in a million years did I think I was going to be standing up here talking about my mom. But I can tell you that right now she's probably yelling at me because I'm crying. Because the one thing she told me, she didn't want any of us to cry when this time came. And I know a lot of you asked about the picture. This picture captures her the way she was. We found out she had cancer, and she decided to cut her hair off, even though she wasn't sure if the chemo was going to make it fall out, but she said that was her excuse. She wanted short hair anyway, and I wouldn't let her cut it because it was beautiful. So she cut her hair off, and then the weekend before her chemo started, we actually took Rose and Mom to Lynchburg to ride the go-karts. And that's where we took this picture, while they were out having fun, enjoying themselves, and it just captured her. She was just everything anybody could ask for in a mom. She was an amazing person, even up until the end. She didn't want anybody to worry about her. We left the doctor's office, and he told us that she probably wouldn't make it to Thanksgiving. And she calls Rose on the way home and tells Rose that the doctor told her she had 7 months. And I said, Mom, why are you telling Rose you have 7 months? And she said, I just wanted to make it easy on everybody else. Even all the way to her last breath, that's what she was worried about, is that nobody would worry about her. She was just strong. She fought till the end. Even when she was in pain, and Rose can attest to this, I would have to sneak her pain pills because she would lie to me about how much pain she was in because she didn't want us to worry. Very independent woman. I mean, I don't even know what else to say. Like, she was my whole world. She was my best friend. So I'm gonna miss her. I don't know what else to say. Thank you guys for coming.
Moms and daughters are a very, very special relationship. I have a couple of more comments from two of our sisters in the church who were also who were close to Connie, Rose and Melanie. I had them write them down for me, and so I'll read first the comments from Rose. Connie was one of those who lit up any room with her smile and personality, and she's doing it again today with that picture there. She had a simple childlike faith, and it was real. She loved the Lord, her children, and her church family. She loved working with the children in the nursery. We had fun times eating out, riding the go-karts, going to the Star, overlooking Roanoke, which was her favorite place, and short hikes. We also had good times napping on her sofa, sitting on her balcony, and sharing our life stories. She never complained, no matter how bad she felt. She knew that where she was going to be for all eternity, with Christ. She prayed continually for her children to be able to join her. Connie was truly my best friend. And these are from Melanie. The friendship, the text she starts with, Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. The friendship that God gave me with Connie was one of his great benefits to me as his child. When Connie started coming to church, God began to open her heart to hear the Bible read and preached and to fellowship with people she did not know. After hearing several sermons, she asked me if there was something she could put in her Bible to help find the different books from which the pastor preached. So Aaron put some book tabs in her Bible. A little more time passed, and Alpheus asked me to spend some time with her in reading the Bible and in our confession of faith. Little did I know what blessings would come to me during our one-on-one times together. Connie and I continued to meet about every other week up until recently when she felt sick and her doctor's appointment, had her doctor's appointments and et cetera. Our gracious God opened her heart to realize there were no works or nothing she could do to make herself right with God. She realized her deepest need was for a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. She desired more and more to read her Bible. The first book she read was the Gospel of John. Connie struggled with her reading skills, but she read the Gospel of John and commented so many times about the earthly life of Christ and the cross. One of the many verses from John that we talked about a lot was John 14:6. Jesus said to Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." God opened Connie's heart and moved her to believe in Jesus Christ as her personal Savior and moved her to repent of her sins. Connie also understood that repenting from our sins is not just a one-time event. As believers in Christ, we continue to repent of our remaining sins until the end of our life. Connie's faithfulness to Trinity Church was always such an encouragement. She said to me many times, "No one has to make me go to church. I want to go." Her commitment to being at church is a rebuke to us all. She hardly ever missed prayers meeting, even in pain without near enough sleep. Connie's work schedule was a very difficult one, but it did not hinder her commitment to us and to our church. God so worked in Connie's heart and enabled her to be faithful. I am very thankful to God for my friendship with Connie and watching God's grace and salvation working in her. Our sister Connie has been made totally right with God because of what Christ has done, nothing that Connie had done for herself. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Luke 4:18-19. Before I bring a short message from the scriptures, I have many memories that I'm very thankful for. It's been over probably about 3.5 years or so that Connie has been among us. She was baptized. I had the privilege and honor of baptizing Connie right behind me there in our baptismal pool on October 9th, and 3 years ago, this past October. We've had many good times together. She has joined our family personally because of relationship with Rose to two family conferences, and it was her daughter's so right. She's always wanting to be cheerful and positive and just having a good time. The family chose that opening song. I was thinking of that her the whole entire time and watching her moving to that song. And so she just did. She really did light up the place in which she dwelled and wanted to be a blessing to others. One of the things that I will never forget about her is how I met her and how her ending up coming to our church. Through another friend that Melanie knew in the apartment complex there in Roanoke, she was invited to our congregation and she attended. And so I met her and then she continued to attend. I think she went somewhere else once in between and kind of realized, you know, I like that other church better. So she came back and we were elated and delighted that she did come back. But as she continued to come in the preaching, you know, when you have to preach the Bible, you know, there's some things in there that we don't like, you know, it rubs against us sometimes. And it was rubbing against her, we could tell. And she really felt that struggle with which we all have before we get saved. And that is that, you know, that you have to give up yourself. You can't come to Christ on your own way. And you got to go his way. If you don't go his way, like he himself just said, "I am the way." And so I'll never forget when she shared her testimony with me that she was having this struggle, and she went home and she got in the shower. So her testimony, her conversion happens there because she's praying. She told me she's praying to God. So, "Oh, God, you've got to do something if I'm going to keep going to that church." And I could tell what she was conveying by this is that the guilt that when you preach the Bible, there is guilt that comes. You feel it. It's a tension. and you've got to take this away. And she said, and it reminded me of Pilgrim's Progress, for those of you who've read that story, that he has this weight on his shoulder, and it's the weight of sin. And she cried out to God to deliver her. And she said that it just felt, and that's what she used, much like that Pilgrim's Progress, she felt like this huge weight had just fallen off of her as she was crying out to the Lord in the shower. And so I'm very thankful that God spared her and gave her eternal life and blessed her. And we got to see her walk with the Lord for these 3 years. And she never kicked against anything. As a Christian, you may not do all that you or know what to do or how to do it, but she was open and always willing. One more testimony before I share the scripture with you, and that is that she'd gotten saved and she wanted to walk right. And I'm like her. I didn't get saved. I was 26. So I used to do a lot of the things that she did and so forth. And we were visiting. Mel and I were visiting her one time, and she left out this cuss word. And it was, you know, to her, I mean, to any of us who grew up in homes that where there's a lot of cursing going on, it's just language. You just don't think about it. It's like all the other words in your vocabulary. But when you become a Christian, you know that this honors the Lord, and you want to do it for His sake and so forth. And so she said the word. I won't repeat the word up here, obviously, but we told her that she didn't think it was bad because, you know, but we told her, I was gentle about it as her pastor now, and told her that, you know, we don't use words like that as Christians. And boy, she immediately cut that one out. And so she worked on it. She says at work, she would work on it because people at Walmart, she could tell there was a change in her. She stopped, you know, saying these kinds of things. And that doesn't make you a Christian. It's because she became a Christian is why she wanted to make these changes. And so that was another fruit, or evidence, if you will, that God had really done a work of grace in our sister's heart. The passage I've chosen before we conclude our services today, it comes out of Romans chapter 5 and various other passages. But one of the things I want to begin with was something I watched yesterday a little bit, or one day this week. I don't know if any of you have ever seen the movie Charlotte's Web about this pig and the spider. I've never opened a sermon like this in my entire life, by the way. But if you've ever read the book or saw some older, the newer version was the one I was happened to come across. And at the end, the spider dies, and the pig is very sad. It's like, why am I crying over a spider and a pig? But the pig or somebody makes this comment about, well, it's just the natural circle of life. And I thought to myself, no, it's not. It is not. Death is a radical intrusion upon humanity. And it came upon us because of the first human being, Adam. God had created a paradise for him to live in and gave him a helpmate, Eve. And he told them to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that they eat thereof, they would surely die. Well, they disobeyed God. And so the scripture says that the passage I mentioned to you is Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man, this was Adam, sin entered the world. Wasn't that way from the beginning. And death through sin. And thus death spread to all men and women because all have sinned. And so this passage tells us that death invaded humanity. And so the first Adam came and he failed us. This is why we all have to suffer in the end in our bodies, and they decay and they die and there is disease. And there is this conflict that's going on. Even the earth itself, the Bible says, is groaning, waiting for its own day of redemption. This is the storms you see, the hurricanes and the tsunamis. The earth itself is groaning, knowing that sin has affected everything. Sin has affected humanity. It has affected nature itself. Well, this is why God sent His Son into the world 2,000 years ago. This is the story of that first Christmas, if you will, that God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but the world through Him would be saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And so there's not only this horrible reality of death that we have to go through on earth itself. Many of us get many years without ever having to experience the loss of loved ones. Other of us have had it happen when we were young. But it will come to all of us eventually. Experiencing it with those we love, and then our own death one day must come. And it comes because of what happened at the beginning. What do we do about this? How can we overcome it? How can we get any hope? It sounds so bad and sounds so horrible. Well, this is why the angels sang at the birth of Christ at the beginning, and why they rejoice at his birth, because this is why he came. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, took on flesh, born in the virgin womb of Mary, to be the second Adam. The first Adam failed, and we lost paradise. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, came 2,000 years ago, and he obeyed God. And he had a lot more law to follow than the first Adam did, but he obeyed every one of them. He never sinned against God. And he was born without sin, unlike you and I, because he was born of the virgin womb of Mary. So this made him what we in the religious circles call the lamb without blemish. So in the Old Testament, all these animals had to be slaughtered to make atonement for sin. And they all pointed to Jesus, who is the true lamb. And so when Jesus lived, he lived a perfect life for 30 some years. He never once disobeyed God. He obeyed every one of God's commandments. So he earned the right to paradise. He earned the right to live forever. Because the wages of sin is death. And so he didn't sin. That's why death could not hold him in the grave, in the tomb. And so when he died, Jesus died as that lamb, making atonement for sin for sinners. Paying that debt, suffering in their place. This is called the Great Exchange. Jesus suffered as the God-man, truly man, also truly God. It's a great mystery. But as he was on the cross suffering, he took the suffering of every single sinner who would ever repent and believe and trust him. He suffered all to him we owe. But that's not all about the good news. It's really good news that Jesus, if you repent of your sin and you trust Jesus and you have all your sins forgiven you, past, present, and thank God, future sins too, there's something else that we all need, and that is we need Jesus' righteousness. So as I said, Jesus lived perfect life. And the Bible tells us, and the Bible teaches, this is how we get to God. This is how we're able to stand before a holy God when we die. Not because of anything we've done, not because we've been good and moral and gone to church and been baptized and all the other outward stuff. The only way we can stand before God, a holy God, is because we've been clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. For God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Paul talked about not having a righteousness of his own, but that which comes through faith in Jesus Christ. It's called imputed righteousness. This is the great gift. This is the great gift. And how do you receive it? Well, Jesus came, and after he grew up, he started his ministry about three years before he was put on the cross. And immediately as he began to preach and teach, and I quoted from a passage that Melanie offered, a quoting from Isaiah. But as he began in Mark 1:15, he would go around in Palestine, various villages, and he would say, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." And he would surely go forward and continue to preach and to teach the gospel, which is a lot of what I'm sharing with you now. This is the word gospel meaning good news. This is the good news that men have been born in darkness, born in sin. And we don't come into this world wanting God. We don't come into this world wanting to do right. That's why you never need to teach a child to misbehave. He learns that on his own. It comes natural. Why? It's because of the part of the fall. And that's why when we get saved, we have to have God's help to enable us to do right and to honor him. And so this is the good news. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe on your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew, Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him, rich to all. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is the glory, that is the hope that every Christian has. And this is why we are here as a church family. Every one of us as members and believers of this church, we all started out like Connie, unbelievers. We may have been saved at a young age, may have been later like me in the 20s, or later like our sister Connie in the 50s. But at some point, we started off without Christ, doing our own thing, living for ourselves, not living for Christ, not being committed to His commandments, His law, His word, not loving our neighbors as ourselves, not loving our God, which is the greatest commandment in the Bible. And so we preach this message to everyone. We preach it here most every Sunday, one way or the other. It comes out in whatever passage we may be preaching upon, because we want to continue to preach this hope that Connie has and that all of us as Christians have. And so I would encourage you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, if you've never repented of your sin, recognize your need of Him. Because this is a much bigger deal than even just of what I've said now, because it's just not the idea of having to live in a fallen world and the horrors of dealing with death. But the greatest horror of all is what Jesus Himself spoke about almost as much as any other subject. There is a hell. There is. And it's for those who refuse to repent and believe. You have to, at that point, suffer for your own sins. And because God is so holy and infinite, we have to suffer there forever, which could be the worst part about it. It's not a place where people go to party. Jesus said it very clearly. It's where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's very, very real. And if none of these things are true, what is true? Everyone's opinion. That's all we're left with. If God did not preserve these truths in the Holy Bible, then all we have left is one another's opinions. Dare we not place our eternal souls on our own opinions, when God has been so gracious to preserve the Holy Scriptures, that we may know the way, the truth, and the life, who is Jesus Christ. I conclude with this text, and then we'll pray. But I conclude with this. This is a passage of one of the many that I read to Connie as she was on her sickbed. And Ramona's probably heard this twice in one day. When Ryan went by, he had read it. I didn't know he had read it, so I came by, then I read it again. She may have part of this memorized by now. But this Revelation 21, this is the end of the story. God's word is so good, so glorious, that He actually tells us how it all ends. John is getting a vision from God, and he's writing this down, and it's been written down for us for almost 2,000 years. He says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Remember, I told you that the earth now is under this curse. So because of what Christ has done at the cross, this is the promise we have. It's all, God's going to remake it all. "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. And then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.'" That, my friends, is the glorious truth and the glorious hope for everyone who repents and believes the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for the comforting message of this gospel. and the power that it has, Lord, to come into our hearts and to convict us and to show us our need. Oh, we need you, Lord. We always will need you, even after we're saved. We need you. We need you, Lord, to comfort this dear, precious family that has now had death invade its home. The sorrows of it all, Lord, the pain. You are quite aware of this through your own Son. We pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would grant much comfort to them each and every day in these days coming ahead. We pray that the message of this gospel has brought hope to them, that they too would reach out to Christ as our sister Connie did as well. Bless them, Lord. Help them. And may you continue to grant what only you can grant by way of encouragement and hope, Lord, in these coming days. We thank you, our Father, for those who've come here today, family, friends, church family. We grieve too, Lord. We grieve with them. We love Connie. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given her this hope and that she is with you. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, saith the Scriptures. And we take much comfort in this, that those who believe in him shall never die. We thank you, our God. We thank you, Lord, for this meal we're about to have and to rejoice in remembering our sister Connie and remembering her life and how you gave her these 57, almost 58 years of life upon the earth and the joys of having children and family, Lord. And thank you for all the blessings through the years. And we pray that you would bless our time together and give thanks for the meal as well. For all these things we do pray in the precious and in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.